Make a same game multi on the NRL with Bluebet and get more bang for your buck. Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome to the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude, and Wendell on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, the last day of May. Can you believe how quickly this year is going? How are you, Jude?
Beautiful. It's been freezing and there's been severe weather warnings.
Mate,
and
I'm a bigger man carrying a little extra weight. I like the weather being, just like you blokes, in jackets and coats and scarves. I'm a more of a winter bloke than a summer bloke.
Del, do you like the weather?
I have a look at him. He's not happy at all.
You're a summer man.
I hate winter, but the only thing I like about it is I can put my sexy jackets on and stuff, like, yeah. You know.
A few layers.
Yeah. Academy brand here, a little summer, oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
My man, yeah. Pity sort of me out there, so yeah.
Well, I don't...
Anthony Pitt, this is a good mate of mine.
Oh, no one cares about your mates giving you free jackets
and
everything, mate.
No, that's not free jacket. It's just, you know, I like the brand.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure you do. Anything free is what you like. What about this? A number of kangaroo attacks over the past week. Kangaroos are attacking everywhere around Australia.
When animals attack.
A golf course in the Gold Coast have had forced to close the last couple of weeks because kangaroos actually attacking people, not us going into their territory as such, but them coming onto the fairway and coming down and starting fighting.
It's a preemptive attack. Like they're getting on the front foot.
That's a golfer. I'm going to go get them. Not someone going into the scrubby area and looking for their ball.
Mate, that golf course was the area.
Yeah.
We built that golf course on their land. Hey. So I'm all for the kangaroos, mate.
Hey, yeah, what happened to that mob of kangaroos that just used to sort of lay there and you could tee off across?
They've had enough. They're fighting back,
aren't they?
They've had enough. Skippy, unfortunately, mate, we're bigger than you. We're stronger than you. We've got better stuff than you. So, unfortunately, mate, unlucky.
Have you seen some of those kangaroos? Oh. We're not bigger than them.
What about
some
this
of those
bloke?
Are massive.
In northern New South Wales, a 6-minute fight's been caught on film. A kangaroo has gouged the head of a bloke called Cliff Dez. Oh. His attempt to shoo the animal away failed, leading to the tussle with the marsupial. Claws up, stood on his back feet, started chasing him.
Yeah.
He grabbed a stick. He smashed the kangaroo with the stick, and then it broke. So the kangaroo went, I'm onto you now. So he put him into a corner and started having a full-on fist fight.
Wow.
Mr. Dez then wrestled the animal to the ground, finally made his escape. The kangaroo attempted to get one last shot in, chasing across the car and into the yard.
That's crazy. They are nasty.
We've got a few of these videos on our socials. At Triple M, so at Triple M and Rush Hour. So please go and check it out.
Yeah.
I thought they were meant to be nice. They're like our national animal.
Emblem.
Yeah, well, don't forget, they've been in lockdown for a couple of years too, so they're a bit frustrated too, mate.
I suppose they are. Triple M, the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell, let's talk NRL. Lots of news overnight. Start the ball rolling, Jude.
Del, there's reports that no one has applied for the Canterbury Bulldogs job. Your thoughts on this?
I find that hard to believe. Mate, someone always wants an opportunity to coach an NRL side, and someone's always confident enough that they can turn a club around. I know Shane Flanagan, he's interested. Like, you know, he's come out and said it. So, you know, whether that Shane
Flanagan... They haven't made the official, like they haven't written in to Gus and said, I want this job.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think that's what they're talking about. Okay. And I suppose you have to do it the official way, right? You can't just go in the paper and say, I'd like the job.
Yeah, well, I think... there's not going to be a rush, but like now that... Mick Potter's in there for the year. So whoever's going to do it is obviously doing their due diligence.
Yeah.
And... mate, whoever is going to put their name down for this job, and if they get it, they've just got to make sure that they're right for the rebuild. And obviously, some good players coming next year.
Yeah.
But you've got to mould them all together. You've got to build your own culture.
Build that synergy,
to go forward. Yeah, that's exactly right.
But you also need the club to say, we're going to give you some time to do that
right? Yeah, that's right.
It works both ways.
Yeah.
Okay, what about this Origin selection time? I don't know how many times you were selected, Del, and were you selected then selected for the rest of your life, or did you come in and out?
Yeah.
What's it like for your confidence when you do get selected?
Oh, yeah, look, I was lucky because I'd been lucky enough to play for Australia when I was 20, and then once I was in, I was a mainstay, and then, it was always good. Like, I knew it was always going to be me, Lockie, Tallis, like, I was always in, and Webke. So I got lucky there too because even in my position too, there was Matt Singh, there was a couple of us, but there was always Matt Singh and I sort of the main wingers there, and then Brett Dallas early in the piece.
How hard is it for someone to sort of perhaps been selected last year, let's say... Jai Arrow, for instance, who's an Origin player. They know he can do a job, but he has to now go back to South Sydney. You know, he's going to miss out on that beautiful opportunity playing in front of 80,000-odd people. How hard is that for a player, do you think?
Oh, no, I think Jai Arrow, he'll take the challenge up. He probably, because don't forget, he had that little indiscretion as well. Mm. So I'm not saying Billy held that against him, but maybe he's thinking there's a few players that are deserving, but also you've got to work your way back into that system. And that's what, I'm not saying Billy's doing that, but even Joy himself, Joy, you know, it just depends how hungry he is. And Joy Arrow, he's one of those guys. He'll be in my 17. Joy Arrow's every bit of Origin. I love the way that he plays for Queensland. You always need a hero and villain. And for New South Wales, he's a villain, isn't he?
Oh, he sure is, yeah.
Do you think Fifita should have been picked if he wasn't injured?
No. I don't think so. I don't think he's played well enough this year. Obviously, I know he's a good player. Don't get me wrong, but I just think there's more players deserving. And if you have a look at that Queensland side and what it's picked on, it's been picked on form. So I don't think Billy Slater would have picked him anyway. I could be wrong, but you know, Fifita will reset his game too. And don't forget, for a young man like him, you know, there's people saying, oh, mate, they shouldn't have paid 1.2. And then you don't want to listen to it, but you start to think, you know, he's only worth 750, 800. So, yeah, for him, he's got to reset his mind too.
The Dolphins got a new signing, Ryan Madison. Is that a good buy for them?
Mate, it's a great buy, especially now he's in the Origin team. So, you know, it's New South Wales are playing some really good football in the last couple of years. And Ryan Madison, to get on that 17.
Forced his way in, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that interview with Danica Mason. Mate, I'm so happy for him, you know. And he's a bit of a different sort of different cat, like, you know, the way that he sort of moved from the Roosters to West Tigers, and people are just saying, you know, he wanted to do his own way, and you know, but I've always liked the kid, and I'm, even though I'm a proud Queenslander, it's good to see him get an opportunity because he's been in and around that New South Wales, you know, sort of edges for a while now.
If the Tigers got rid of Madge McGuire, do you think that the Tim Sheens would take over, or would they get an external interim in?
I think they'd get an external in. I think they'd get someone who's been in and around the club, or someone like a Mick Potter, you know, who's sort of, you know, had something to do with the club. I don't think Tim Sheens would come back. There's a lot of pressure week in, week out. Mate, could he do it? Probably, but it's just, it's a lot for Tim. I'm not saying at his age, because, you know, you've got obviously Wayne Bennett still in and around there, and obviously Craig Bellamy, but I think Sheens is happy where he's at.
Do you think that it's okay for Origin players to be picked out of position?
Of course it is. Mate, you, the best of the best. I know it might be a slap in the face for people who play that position, but if you've got players who, you know, are good utility players and they can play in another position, mate, I've got no problems with it. Forever and a day, it's always been that way. You think about when they picked Kalyn Ponga and they played him, you know, they played him in the back row and on the edge on his debut over in Perth, I think. You know, well, he's a proud Queenslander, but I think he was born in Western Australia, but we claimed him, as we do.
It'd be honoured to represent, isn't it?
Oh, it is. You know, playing that 17 and to play anywhere. I think even Crichton said that. Crichton just goes, you know, I was surprised, you know, when I was picked on the bench, but he goes, I'm happy to play anywhere, you know, for my state.
Coming up next, accidental nudity. Oh. Story about MG and I at a hotel.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell here, driving you home across this beautiful state and city of ours. What about this, guys? Accidental nudity. Kerry Bickmore's partner, Chris Walker, responds to nude Skype gaff. Chris Walker's got a couple of kids with the gold Logie winner. Reportedly, he stripped naked while the camera was still on with his full body on show. So he obviously thought that the Skype discussion had ended. And he just, rather than hitting, you know, see you later or pressing that right button, and, he flicked it and it didn't go off. So everyone's still chatting. The full camera's there in the room and he gets his gear off to have a shower. And people are like, people trying to ring him and tell him that you're full on here and stuff. There you go.
It can happen, though.
The incident was unintentional, they say. The ABC is aware of unintentional incident which occurred involving the production team of The Weekly, which is show that he's on. And apparently at the moment he's away on holidays and he can just sort of Skype into various meetings and stuff. But, yeah, it can easily happen.
Well, you were doing that walk with Carl Stefanovic. We had you on webcam and you're in, like, the motor in with him. And then suddenly, as soon as you'd sort of logged off, you thought you were just had a break or whatever. We could see the entire thing.
What are you talking about?
And we're going, don't do it. Like I was going, you can't unsee this sort of stuff. Like I'm trying. But
I was just saying,
I was getting really worried.
I remember with MG once we went on a trip with the grill team, and we were in he sleepwalks if he's in a place that is uncomfortable for him, or if it's a place for the first night. You know, he's not used to it. Yeah. He'll go for sleepy walkies. So
he got up.
We're at a motel. Fortunately, it wasn't a huge hotel because he actually went into the fire escape area and went down a couple of levels completely starkers, right, trying to find what he was doing, and eventually he woke up in the fire escape, walked down to the bottom, got out, but he had to go to the motel, like to the front desk, sort of desk and sort of, you know, cover his bits up.
Sheepish.
And sheepishly in the nude, because he sleeps in the nude, apparently, you know, he told me.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and then got a key to his room and went back into bed again. So it's easily done. Unintentional nudity. Give us a call on 133353. Accidental nudity. G'day, Matt. Your accidental nudity story, champ.
Yeah, g'day, boys.
G'day.
Yeah, mate. I was staying at a hotel in Pimble on Pacific Highway and went out for a quick wee at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the door closed behind me and realised that there was no one else in the hotel to let me into my room. So I had to go out the Pacific Highway and flag down a car in my bright orange boxers. And they were bright.
Right.
And got a garbo to give me his phone and so I could call the hotel to let me back into my room.
We're going streaking through the quad.
Lucky you're wearing orange or any sort of boxes, to be honest with you, Matt.
Oh, mate, the look on his face, he was pretty freaked out.
Yeah. Good on you, Matt. Appreciate it. What about Mark? G'day, Mark. When were you accidentally nude?
G'day, gentlemen. I was launching my boat off the beach at Fingal Bay, and it was Christmas time. There was probably 1,000 people on the beach. And I pushed it out to get some depth to put the outboard down. And as I stood up on the rear step of the boat, I hadn't done me drawstring up on me boardies. So as I stood up in front of about 1,000 people, my pants have just fallen down around my ankles.
What was the faces like on the shoreline?
Well, I think they were more shocked when I reached down to pull them up, mate. They thought there was an angry lion on the back of the boat.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour Triple M is our handle. A list of toxic names has come out, guys. I'm going to go through the female toxic names first, but we'll make sure we'll give
them. What do you mean by toxic? Like
harmful?
In terms of the people?
Harmful or unpleasant. Not the person, but the name. So just be careful. Anyone driving their missus to the airport, to the hospital right now, about to give labour. Labour, do not pick any of these names.
About to give labour?
Yeah. Well, you know, if they've got a baby in there, you know, if she's pregnant.
Oh, they're in labour. Sorry, mate. Yeah, sorry. I got you, mate.
I'm with you, mate. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. Emily is the number one toxic female name. I think that's a bit harsh.
I like
Emily's all right, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really harsh.
Yeah.
What about a lot of nice Emily's.
Yeah, me too. hold on. We're not going back into your vault, are we?
Wow.
Number two, Brianna.
Sounded like something you can eat.
It's brie cheese, mate.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Madison.
Or Maddie. That's
Maddie.
I like Maddie.
I like Maddie. We got a Maddie that works here at SCA.
Yeah, she's lovely.
Yeah.
What about Nicole? Amanda? Sarah? Anything with a Lynn at the end?
Is that like
Carolyn?
Or Caitlin? Jaslyn?
Yeah. Who? Jaslyn? No one's called Jaslyn.
Surely.
Isabella, Maria,
and
Alexandra or Ali. I think a few of those names are actually really beautiful.
Yeah.
Alexandra.
It depends if you attribute to someone. Like, there might be someone toxic in your life. You go, hang on.
An ex-girlfriend with the name Emily, then it's the most toxic name, right?
or Satan. Oh, sorry,
Oh, God, you had a tough life, big fella. What about possible toxic male names? Heathcliff.
Oh.
Who calls their son Heathcliff?
I don't know, but hopefully they drop over sometime.
133353. If your name's Heathcliff, you can back it up. Yeah. We'll give you some tickets to something.
Yeah.
That's all one word. It's not
Heathcliff.
Yeah. Heathcliff is one word.
Yeah.
Callum?
Yeah.
There's a couple.
Is that a bit? Yeah. How are you going? Hamlet?
No one's called
Hamlet. Dorian?
No.
Actually, I know a Dorian.
I don't know a Dorian.
Patrick? That's not a toxic name.
No.
Matthew? That's old school, Matthew.
It's pretty stock standard. Hey, Matty. Yeah, you are, Matt.
Hey. Angus.
Yes. Yes. That's a
Jude and Wendell. That's Big O, our new producer. We've just given him a full-time job. It'll be the shortest full-time job he's ever had if he keeps up with that nonsense.
What about Shane? It's got to be Shane-o's. There's a couple. Of, like, they're always loose cannons. So I think of Shane Mumford.
After what happened to Warney, just back in your
box. Yeah,
all
okay.
right, on Shane.
Shane.
That's pretty ordinary for you, Drew.
Yeah, what's wrong with you, Drew?
You're
an Australian icon, mate.
Give us some other options.
Well, that's it. They're the top. No. They're the top world. There was the top six, and then they gave Angus, Jude, and Wendell, which are obviously not true.
Sorry, Warney.
I reckon Heathcliff.
Heathcliff.
So bad.
There's no one's called Heathcliff.
Someone's ringing in here.
Oh. Hang on. Someone's ringing in because we heard free tickets, so everyone rings in. They don't know what the free tickets are for or what you have to do. But we have someone on the line right now called Tim. Tim, that is not the name that we asked for, brother. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. No, but I'm a father of a Heathcliff who chose the name, mate.
Wow.
Oh, so talk us through why Heathcliff.
Look, it comes from Wuthering Heights, the book. I met a fellow in Adelaide called Heath, and when he told me his name was Heathcliff, I grew quite fond of it. Yeah. My first son I called Heathcliff.
So what do you call him? Do you call him Heathy or Cliffy, or do you actually call him?
That was another reason. There's so many different things you can call him, but I refer to him as Heath or Heathy when he was little.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, well, there's a Heathcliff, and I said you'd get a present.
One of my best mates' names.
I don't know what we've got for you.
He gets Keith all the time. Yeah. He gets Keithy.
Yeah. Hello, Keithy.
We'll give him some sort of prize anyway. Yeah. So there you go. We'll give you some Wallaby tickets. England versus the Wallabies. So there you go. On July 16 at the SCG for you and Heathcliff to go along to.
Wuthering Heights. He's well read.
Yeah, exactly. As if he'd expect us to know what that was. Is he serious? It's Triple M, brother. The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Thanks to BlueBet, the true blue Aussie bookie. They're the little Aussie battler of the betting world. We love an Aussie battler. Bet Australian. Bet with Bluey. Download the BlueBet apps from iPhone and Android. And we're talking now about the Dally M's. We're nearly at the halfway mark, Dell, in the season. At the moment, Ben Hunt is leading on 19 points. I find that a little strange. Or is it the fact that he is their best player, so when the Dragons do win, he always picks up three or gets close to it?
Well, he's their best player, and he's playing
really
good.
The best player in the season, has he, so far?
No, he hasn't, but that's what I'm saying. If you're the best player in a weaker side, mate, you're going to pull. Yeah, you're going to stand. Mate, it's always been the way. That's what people have said. That's the shortcomings with the Dally M system, but it is what it is.
Isaiah Yeo is in second place. Everyone's saying that he's been the best player of the season so far in a team that has only, lost the odd game.
Oh, I think he has, mate. Just his game's gone to a new level. Obviously, Cam Murray plays that position as well, but Isaiah Yeo's gone to a new level. The way that he plays, his composure, you saw him score early last week. Mm. But just his, sleight of hand, his defence and his leadership too as a co-captain, mate, he's gone to another level. I can't wait to see him play for Australia this year.
Nico Hines is sitting on 16 points thus far. He's had a terrific season, hasn't he?
Yeah, when Cronulla go well, he's the mainstay there. He's the guy that gets him around. He's the guy that's got the X factor. He's been a great buy this season, and that's why he sits on 16 points. Bit of a lesson last week against against the Roosters last week, but he'll learn from that. But he didn't go back into his shell. He kept looking for ways to sort of penetrate the Roosters.
And Moses is sitting on 15 points, equal with Pappenhausen.
Yeah, I know. Mitchell Moses is playing some really good football now, and I think what's a good fall for him is Dylan Brown. He's just a running number six, and they complement each other. So Mitch can do what he does, and Brown's doing what he's doing, and then obviously Mitch is getting the rewards there, but also Dylan Brown, he's playing some great football. But I'm happy for Mitch Moses. It's time.
Quickly on Pappenhausen, hasn't played the last few weeks with injury. He's on 15. He was a clear leader when he got injured and probably would have played State of Origin as well. So one of those blokes that will certainly feature as the season continues.
He certainly will. And Storm need him back. They don't need him back ASAP, but the sooner he gets back, the better for the Storm.
Up next, we've got Origin tickets up for grabs with Dell versus New South Wales.
The Rush Hour.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour. Gus Wall and Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor here on Triple M. A huge second hour of the show coming up. But now we're playing for Origin tickets.
After years on the field, they say his confidence only grew.
Am I ready to rock and roll today, boys?
But can he take on the entire state of New South Wales?
New South Wales.
New South Wales.
I'm feeling great.
The Rush Hour's New South Wales versus Dell. Experience the power of the rivalry. Ampol State of Origin, Game 1 at Accor Stadium, June 8. Get your tickets via Ticketek.
Yes, each day this week, Wendell will take on the Blues legend, a Blues legend in a quiz. Both Dell and the New South Wales rep will be playing for a listener on the line with the winner of the quiz securing four silver passes to State of Origin 1 for their fan. Today, Dell, you're up against Aaron Woods. Woodsy, welcome to the show, brother. How are you?
How are we, guys? What's happening?
Good, Woodsy. Mate, sensational. Let's find out who you're playing for today. Dell, introduce your caller to the Rush Hour.
Yes, I'd like to welcome David to my team. Welcome, David. We got this in the bag.
Come on, big Dell.
Fantastic.
I got you, my bro.
Dell will be going like for you. Mate. Woodsy, do you want to introduce your caller?
Well, I've got Big Petey.
How are you, Peter?
Oh, it's going really well. Jude, how are you travelling?
Really well, mate. You've got Aaron Woods. He's played 14 Origins, and he's in your corner today. So, Del, you're going to be screaming out Maroons. Woodsy, you scream out Blues to answer the three questions. We've only got three questions today.
Okay.
Come on, Woodsy.
Okay, here it is. Who won the very first Origin match?
Queenslander.
Go, Del.
Queensland.
They did. They Bang, did. He's on the board.
Artie Beetson! Yeah!
He's on the board.
My buzzer is New South Wales, is it?
Oh, yeah, Blues.
Hang on. Yeah, with the program.
Oh, mate, honestly.
Just yell out Blues. Yeah, go for it, Woodsy. Okay, here we go.
I'm glad he's a footy player and not on sale of the century.
Here we go. Question two. Which player has scored the most goals in a match?
Queenslander.
Blues.
Ryan Girdler. Thank you. Del, see you, Woodsy. It's all over.
It is all over.
Get out of here, Woodsy.
It is all over.
That's controversial. And I thought
David
Woodsy was in
from
early
Forestville,
there.
You've won the silver passes for you and three mates to State of Origin 1.
Thank you so much, mate. I've got to say at this moment, Del, I love you nearly as much as you do, mate.
Magnificent.
Love it. Silver passes for you and three mates to State of Origin 1. Experience the power of the rivalry. Ampol State of Origin, game one at a Core Stadium on June 8th. That is next Wednesday night, boys. Get your tickets via Ticketek. Thanks a lot, Woodsy. If you can stay on the line, please, brother. Dave from Forestville, congratulations. Pete from wherever Pete was from, well, he can just go and, like, whistle because Woodsy's let him down.
What's Woodsy doing?
Woodsy's
let
him down.
He's working too much, mate.
Absolutely badly. Woodsy, stick around. We're going to get your thoughts on Origin selection after this.
If the NRL were handing out awards for the best head of hair in the game, somewhere down the bottom of the list would be, I don't know, Viliami Kickow, or maybe Ryan Pappenhausen. That's an atrocity. But right up the top would be this next guy. Although at 195 centimetres and 115 kegs, even if he had a bad cut, we'd probably say it was great. He's played over 220 games in his NRL career. He's captained three clubs, played State of Origin for the Blues, and played for Australia. In 2022, he kicks off a new season at a new club. Let's find out how they're treating the new kid down at the Dragons. Please welcome in the starting lineup of the Rush Hour, Aaron Woods.
Yeah, g'day, Woodsy. Not such a new boy anymore, big fella down there at the Dragons. Well, let's get your thoughts on State of Origin. You played so much Origin football. What were your thoughts when you saw the two sides? Let's start the ball rolling with Freddie's side.
Yeah, look, I was a little bit surprised, Gus. He only did a few positions. Obviously, Adokar being the main one, I thought that was a bit of a left field selection with Daniel Tupou. I thought Adokar's been one of our best and most consistent players in the last 3 years that he's played Origin. You know, and he's been a really integral part of our squad. And you see all the players get around him, he brings so much energy. So, look, I thought that was a little bit, you know, just a little bit harsh on him. But, you know, they're picking players in form, and obviously his side's not going too well. And you know, happy for Ryan Madison. I didn't see that one coming. He's been playing well. And I thought probably Liam Martin was probably playing good enough to get a starting jersey. So, look, I'm still happy with it. And probably the only other one would be my utility on the bench. I probably would have went with Appy Coruscant. I think the form he's been at Penrith has been absolutely on fire. I think he really complements, you know, Cleary and Luai so much. So, look, I'm not sure what would happen if we did lose Cook on Wednesday night, but hopefully touch wood, he comes out and has a blinder.
Woodsy, just on the Adokar thing, if he was still at Melbourne, do you see him in the side?
Yeah, 100%, Jude. You know, When you win, you get a lot more exposure. Obviously, they've only won, I think, two games this year. So, you know, it's pretty disappointing. I spoke to him after the game. We played against him on the weekend, and he hadn't heard by that stage. And, you know, he still had his fingers crossed. But, look, Daniel Tupou's done the job. He's played quite a few Origins. He's won a series in 2014. And his form's been unreal. Like, he's probably the main go-to for the Roosters coming out of the back end. And, you know, I can sort of see where Freddie's coming from. But our other winger Tyre is even smaller than that Okar. So, you know, it's just going to be an aerial assault to that side of things. So we just really need to prepare well for that.
Let me ask you about Jack White. And obviously, you know, mate, he's one of my favourite players up there with Munster. Do you play him off the bench or do you start him in the centres? What do you think they'll do there? You reckon they'll just keep Crichton? Because I'm not sure, but they didn't want to go with two rookie, you know.
Yeah, defensively.
Yeah, but just in case, because you know it's a different beast out there. What's your thoughts on that, Woodsy?
Yeah, it's a tough one, Del, because you go back to the 2020 season when they had the Origin at the end of the year. I think Jack White plays centre then, and Kurt Capel's trying to touch him up a bit, who's not a full-time centre.
Yes.
And, you know, we spoke about that at the end of the series. You know, we weren't sure. You pick players that are preferred for their position. And this one, you know, it's a bit, I'm not sure on this one. You know, I think Crichton's probably been one of the best centres over the last two or three years for the Panthers. And Jack White, like, he's my favourite player. He's a player that you've got to make a position for. And like you said, he's a really good utility. I think probably the other late change I reckon we might get, I reckon one of our front rowers might push back to the bench and they might start Kemble Gillard. He's one of those type of just bash and barge front rowers. I reckon that he'd love that first 20 minutes of Origin, and then you get on someone that, you know, I thought Payne Hassel was one of our better players last year off the bench, and Paulo's got the late feed and really good skills. So I think there might be a couple of changes come Wednesday night.
Mate, let's switch to the absolute champions of champions.
You're not champions, mate.
Oh, no, but champion state. Hey, let me ask you about...
go and live there.
Game three. Joy
Arrow, are you surprised Joy Arrow's not in there? Because the team that Billy's picked is pretty much in form.
Yeah, Dill, I think that's probably the only surprise there, really. I think Joy Arrow's an Origin player. Obviously, he had a bit of, you know, dramas last year. He got in a little bit of trouble, but I thought he amended all that, and man, I just every time he's played Origin, he's been the big difference. You know, a couple of years ago, he comes on. He's got really good leg speed in behind the ruck. He's got a really good late left arm offload, and his defense is so strong in Origin, which is what they love. So, but in saying that, I really do like the pack that they've chosen. You know, they've chosen a real hard, a no frills pack that just gets you over the ad line because they've got so many superstars in the back line. So, you know, you throw Ponga, Munster, Cherry Evans. You start with Ben Hunt, which I think that's one of Ben Hunt's real strong positions is hooker, and then you bring Harry Grant on after 25-30 minutes. So, look, they've got a really good side, and you know, I also thought Corey Oates was hard done by. He's a really good Origin player. He's done the job there in the past.
So, who wins game one?
Well, I reckon New South Wales win game one, June. I think they'll be too strong. I think they'll have just too much class in the end. I really like our forward pack, and it's a couple of big boppers that are starting there, and I just think they can cause a lot of damage. And then if anyone watched the Roosters part of the weekend, Tedesco's hit in Origin form, and I'm really excited to see how he goes next Wednesday.
Good on you, Woodsy. Love you, mate.
Woodsy.
Keep going, big fella.
Woodsy.
Good win the other day, big fella.
I still can't handle that.
Yeah, unlucky, mate. 2-0, mate. Just remember that, mate. Run along.
Yeah, you got it. Please, mate. 2-0, 2-1 on Wednesday night, brother.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell driving her home on Triple M right across this beautiful state and city of ours. Now, we're talking about something that was very, very fearful for some people on a Qantas jet overnight, guys. When did you fear for your life? Give us a call on 1-333-5. So we will take your calls, and the best callers will get a double pass to see the Wallabies versus England at the SCG July 16. Tickets on sale at Ticketek if you don't get a freebie from us. Passengers on plane bound to land in Sydney were told they may not finish on the tarmac and to brace for impact in a terrifying moment where people called their loved ones with final goodbyes.
Oh, what?
You know how these days you can get on your phone, it pops up sometimes 3G at least and whatever.
They were letting them call.
They said you can actually use your mobile phones now because we're not quite sure how this is going to go. So you can text or phone your loved ones. Can you imagine?
No, I can't. No.
I'd have the white knuckles. I'd be holding onto the seat. It'd be just...
They were showing the emergency procedure and then went into land. There was no braking applied on landing as we were all bracing for impact as the crew yelled out, brace, brace, brace. The plane landed safely, however, because Qantas pilots, mate, the best top-notch in the world, absolute top guns. A Qantas spokesman said at no point was the aircraft at risk of not landing on the runway, just they might have run out of it because of the problem with the brakes. So it just goes to show how awesome the pilots are and the crew are. And we tip our hat to everyone at Qantas for that.
Is that everyone clapping at the end when they come to the stop?
You would imagine, wouldn't you? Oh. What if you've sent out a text message to someone saying, I love you, babe, or I wish I'd told you, I want to fess up now that I've done something, and all of a sudden everything's fine. You go, bring the text back. You've got a story, big fella.
Oh, look, we've all got stories. Obviously, you know, I like traveling the world, and sometimes, let's say, my behaviour can get a bit out of control.
What?
Oh. Yeah, let's just...
That's a shock to all of us.
I get a bit excited, okay?
Okay.
So, 2000, we were lucky enough to win a grand final, and then all the boys wanted to go to Bali. I wasn't a big fan of Bali. I'd rather go, like, North Queensland or go up to Darwin or over to Perth or something, you know?
And you want to leave Australia, though.
Yeah, not so much, man. I love Australia.
Okay.
Anyway, the Broncos 2000 side, pretty good side. Big Gordy Tallis, Lockie, Benny Eichen. We had Lottie Dakiri was my roomie. We stayed at Hard Rock Cafe. So about 9 or 10 days over there in Bali. Anyway, so... But obviously, we're drinking on the plane.
What?
Yeah.
we get off the plane,
we check in, we're out, we're drinking. And it was about day four. We met up with the Brisbane Lions boys. They're over there too, 2000. Loose. So this will shock you. We went to this club and it was like 6 in the morning. It was like a day club. So, mate, a bit tired at this stage. were walking out. There was me, Ben Eichen, Darren Lockyer.
How do you keep up your energy all night?
Oh, I like drinking vodka Red Bull, mate.
Okay.
Like, yeah, Bali, anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously, you know, we're in Bali. We, you know, obviously, shirts are off. We're thinking we're a bit of a big deal. No one cares about us in Bali, but as in Aussies go, sometimes we can get a bit carried away.
How were you looking?
Unbelievable. Mate, 2000, it was... Oh,
yeah,
mate,
you're at the top of your game.
I was Shred City, time. And the ego was a bit out of control. Anyway, cut a long story short, there was a Mercedes in front, and there was a bloke sitting in there. I was going, mate, Hard Rock Cafe, how much to take the boys back to Hard Rock Cafe? And he looks at me, and of course, I'm getting a bit chirpy, and at this stage, you know, I needed to quieten down. Benny Eichen's just standing there, Lockie's standing there. Next minute, he gets out of his car and puts a gun to my head.
And what?
At this stage, what? I didn't
when
have
you
much.
Say you got pretty chirpy, you must have got super chirpy.
No, I was just going, come on, mate. Like, you know who we are, mate. We're the Broncos, mate. And the Brisbane Lions boys, they were in and around there as well because they were still in the club and some of the boys were, you know, you just filter
out. Out of his glove box, he's just walking.
Yeah, just out of the car. He just got out of the car and he walked up to me and then he just pulls his gun and puts it at my head.
What did he say to you?
He didn't say anything. It's just a steel medal on my head. And, mate, it's funny. Darren Lockyer, it wasn't that funny, but Darren, at this stage, I've said nothing. I've just gone, this is real. This is not a dream.
Yeah.
Darren Lockyer just sort of steps back a little bit. Benny Eichen stepped in and said, mate, we're from Australia. We're just joking, mate. So sorry, mate. You know, we didn't mean to offend you. And then one of his mates came around because there's a lot of people around. But, you know, over there, you've got to understand. You know, if you go to their country and you want to carry on like a pork chop, mate, you get what you get. So, mate, at this stage, I sobered up pretty quickly. So,
Did you ever feel for any moment that he might actually?
Oh, I was just, I just couldn't believe it was
escalated. It's
mate,
escalated.
It was cold metal on my head. Oh. And at this stage, like, you know, I'd had like 3 or 4 days on the drink and that. But let me tell you, Benny Eichen, he stepped up.
So Ben stepped up, the bloke walked away, drove off in the murk, and that was the end of it?
No, he actually just stood there. He actually just stood there and he just stared at me and his mate had to sort of calm him down a little bit. So I'm tipping as a bit of an underworld figure over there and I picked the wrong bloke to sort of big note myself to.
Not as chirpy now.
I wasn't that chirpy, let me tell you. But I enjoyed the next 4 or 5 days, let me tell you.
I got no doubt. 1-3-3-5-3, when did you fear for your life? G'day, Will. How are you going, brother?
Yeah, no, pretty well, thanks, Gus. Yourself?
Mate, very well. What happened?
Yeah, back in 2012, I got a one-way ticket to Turkey. Thought I'd go for a lovely holiday. Hmm. And I was kind of circumnavigating the country. Ended up in the northeast near Georgia, a little place called Shebankari Sar. Hmm. And I got a job on a hazelnut and walnut farm.
That's awesome.
Had a hard day's work and I hadn't shaved in a couple of months, so I had a pretty big black beard. And I got pulled up as I was walking home one afternoon after a couple of days' work by 2 plainclothes guys just saying, get in the van. And I kind of said, no, I'm all right, I'll go home, thanks. And they then grabbed me and threw me into the van, the back of the van. Yep. Turned around, just started driving through this little cobbly road village of Shebankari Sar. I spoke minimal Turkish and they spoke minimal English. And turns out they took me back to the police station, so at least I knew it was legit.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't just rogues, but I was in the police station, locked up. And then they kind of interrogated me on and off, an hour interrogation, an hour back in the padded cell by yourself. Kind of intimidating, being polite, but also pretty, pretty hostile.
Yeah.
And anyway, I was increasingly fearing for my life 8 hours later. And eventually the head guy comes in and at midnight, drives me home. I helped them guide me where I was staying and woke up the host. I went inside, showed them my passport. And then they said, oh, we thought you suspected terrorist.
Oh mate. Wow.
That's like an episode of Banged Up Abroad.
Exactly right. Will. I didn't stay in the town much longer after that.
Oh, Will, mate, that's amazing. So that was the end of that. Did you then leave that town or did you hang around?
Exactly. No, well, actually, I the next day I kind of walked around the town and saw a few not so friendly faces and thought, I think I'm going to get out of this town for now. Yeah. And I continued on my travels. I mean, Turkey's a brilliant place, but that little episode, was a strange one.
Beautifully explained story. Thank you so much, mate. We're going to send you off to the Wallabies for sure. What about John in Cronulla? G'day, John.
Hey, g'day, John. Boys. How you going?
Yeah, mate, we're good. How did you nearly lose your life?
Mate, I was my wife and I were coming out of Sweden. I think it was. We're heading towards Dubai on a plane, and we're about an hour and a half, 2 hours out of Dubai, and I'm waiting outside the bathroom, and this bloke's been in there for ages. And the hostie comes along. She goes, "What's the problem?" I go, "This man, there's someone in the toilet. They've been in there for ages." So she starts banging on the door. Mm-hmm. Next minute, the door's thrust open, and this pretty big bloke jumps out, punches the hostie in the head. And I've gone, holy shit. So I jump on him. The bloke behind me jumps on him. I got him in a headlock. The hostie's jumped on top of them. Everyone was screaming and yelling.
Oh.
And eventually they tie the bloke up. And while I'm down on the ground, I got my face really close to his head. He turns around and he says, "My mate's got the bomb." He whispers to me, "My mate's got the bomb."
Oh.
And anyway, so we tie him up. And I'm obviously shitting myself, obviously. And I go to the head steward. I said, "Listen, you know, I need to tell you this." And so I tell him, and he goes, "Oh, okay, thanks very much." They took this bloke away, all tied up. He basically got carted off it in Dubai. But I'm sitting there with my wife, and she goes, "Oh, John, well done, you know, blah blah blah." And she goes, "What's the matter?" And I go, no, there's nothing the matter." And this went on for about, you know, 20 minutes. He goes, "John, there's something the matter. What's the matter?" And I'm going, "Man, there's someone else on this plane with a bomb. I don't think we're going to make it."
Oh, my God.
So we had to sit there for the next hour and a half. No one on the plane knows except for, obviously, the staff and myself and my wife. And I'm just waiting for the plane to blow up, basically.
Oh, my God, John. I cannot imagine what that would have felt like.
Story. Wow.
Oh. Yeah. That is chaotic. You have no control over it at all.
Every second you're on that plane, so everything landed, and in the end, obviously, everything was okay, but, God, that would have just knocked your nerves for six, John. Thank you so much for sharing that story, and thank you so much for telling us. Wow, and I'm glad that you're safe.
Mate, our listeners, they just keep...
they're the best, aren't they?
They are the best listeners. All the latest in AFL with Jude's Locker Room Chat.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour Triple M is our handle. Time to talk AFL.
Absolutely. Let's do this.
Okay. AFL big fella. What is happening at the moment with Fremantle? Finest wins on the weekend over the reigning premiers. They were beaten, a couple of weekends ago. Everyone thought, oh, they're back out of it. They beat Melbourne.
It was a phenomenal win. Like I just sat down and particularly the first half, Melbourne actually played pretty well, but the third quarter was where the damage was done. It was an 8-goal-1 third term. And I reckon every side opposition analysis are looking what happened. How did they break this down? Because they were previously undefeated, the D's, and they've run away with a 38-point win. And when you look at the machinations and what actually happened, literally they got on top around the midfield, and this is a much vaunted midfield in Clayton Oliver, Petrarca and those types. And despite Melbourne actually getting their first hands on the ball around the midfield, they put pressure on it, just hunted after them and forced it out into spillage. And then they took it down into a forward line where they had just some really strong tools, and then their forwards went to work, their small ones. So Tabiner and Lobb were busy inside forward 50. Sean Darcy put some pressure on Max Gawn. So I think they're the real deal. I think that'll just give them an enormous amount of confidence, Dell, to go over. That's the only time they play at the MCG this year. But to go over and beat the reigning premiers, you go back with your chest out.
Incredible.
Mate, what about tonight? Sydney contesting Buddy's one-week suspension. With or without him, can they beat the D's after them losing last weekend?
Yeah, it's a huge one. Let's first and foremost look at Buddy. It was graded as intentional, low impact and high. They're pushing back on the intentional, and if they can drop that...
What does that mean?
Go down to a fine. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So I'm reluctant.
There's no chance, mate.
I don't think they'll get him off, but we'll see how they go. But I think there can be a chance. I mean, you look at the way Fremantle did it. Their kicking efficiency was about 81%. Sydney are a good kicking side. They just need the consistency of pressure and that hit around the stoppages that Fremantle were able to do. I think Sydney can't be poor starters like they've done this year. They did it again against Richmond and had to chase them down.
They were 32 points down or something once.
Exactly.
They got there.
Yeah. They ran over the top. It was like they've got that armoury, but you want to start well against the best.
What about Carlton, mate? They're starting to have a bit of impact with injuries. They've been playing so well over this season, and they're starting to believe again. I think some sports agency are already paying them out to be in the eight, but they've had an injury now to one of their big guns.
Yeah, Jacob Wiedering, he's a fantastic defender, a critical key defender for them, and he's likely to miss up to 5 or 6 weeks with the shoulder injury. And it could have a massive impact on their run. I mean, they've already got Pittenat, who's their ruckman, out. McGovern's out, and Harry Mackay as well. So their tools are a big concern. And then you look at their run. They've got a bye this week, and they've got Essendon, Richmond, Fremantle, and St Kilda. So a really tough run after this bye. So Michael Voss is, you know, we really struggling to go, okay, how do we overcome it? They're not going to overcome the loss of a big man like him, but they've just got to just lift their work rate around the middle, and hopefully their midfield get on top over the next few weeks. But they've got their work cut out. This will really test Carlton over the next few weeks.
Well, Jude, I'm looking at the Giants' draw here, and after their bye this weekend, they only play one side in the top eight. Can they go on a run here or not?
Yeah, you're right, Del. It's only the Dogs they play who's sitting in the eighth at the moment. They can get on a run. I think the way Mark McVay's coaching, he's just released the shackles a bit. I think they were playing too slow, and even some of the players have said it felt like we were just chipping it around a little bit. Now they're going, and that can really test sides. They play North Melbourne. They've got the Dogs, Collingwood, Hawthorn, and Port Adelaide. So they can get on a run, get some confidence in this side, and I love the way they pushed Brisbane on the weekend, and they really took it to them. They couldn't quite get over the line. So let's see where they are after the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Appreciate it, Jude. For the latest entertainment and tech gear, plus a huge range of appliances, shop online at binglee.com.au. Available for delivery or 1 hour contactless click and collect at your local store. And that's it for today's podcast. For more of the show, you can catch us live on the radio tomorrow from 4 p.m. on Triple M.